You sit right now, and I've thought when they say turn to the book of Revelation, I'm going to get a new revelation of a revelation that some guy got a revelation. He's going to tell me about something that I didn't know about the beasts or the false prophet or scorpions or bugs out of the middle of the earth, or are the beasts with heads like hair like women and teeth like a lion? Are they helicopters? All of these things that we've heard. Amen. But to get to where I want to get to today, I want you just for one moment. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to go with me. And see yourself you've left Ephesus, the church that was there, the church that was doing so well. But for some reason they've come and they've got you now. You're chained, manacles on your hands and your feet, and you shuffle along with the man in front of you, the woman behind you. You know you've done nothing at all. There's no crime that you commit. And he puts you on a ship, and the ship leaves the harbor for its short journey. It would be so good if you could stand on the deck and let that Aegean wind whip into your face, but not down where you are now as you are huddled together in the blackness of the bowels of that ship with the smell of urine and rats and human feces and the sweat and the dirt of the people that surround you. Why are they doing this? I've done nothing. The journey's over in just a short time as the ship makes its way to its rendezvous point with land, and you are again taken off that ship. And when they get you to where they put you, they undo the shackles from your hands and from your feet. Freedom at last. Then you look around and say, freedom for what? There's nothing here. Wind and waves and wet and cold and rock. It may be that you watch them as they bring a body down from the quarries, out from the mine. And you know that in your age, in the longevity that you've been on this earth, now you will be forced to do what they've been doing. The man that I talk about, you probably already know, is John the Apostle. The Bishop of Ephesus, the writer of the fourth gospel, three wonderful letters, the apostle of love. But in around the year 95 AD, he's taken from that place and he's put into a place of common criminals, murderers, thieves. And now these become your neighbors. In my short time on this earth, I've learned that desperate men do desperate things. And I know as they moved these men up onto the beaches, into the places, the caves where they would literally be housed, that those that were already there would be watching them. And one might look at John and say, it's a tattered robe, but it's better than the one I got. As soon as he sleeps tonight, I'm going to go get that robe. That one's got a pair of sandals that look like they may be new, and I'm going to go get those sandals. If I have to kill him, I don't care. I want these for myself. It's a shame that we say in our own nation, the richest nation on the earth, decisions are made like that every day on streets, in alleys around this wonderful nation that we live in. And John finds himself there. How long can I last? How long can I last? Perhaps 80 plus years old now. How long can I last? Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. We read the words of this old man who loved God with all of his heart as he begins to write a letter. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Your Bible may say in the top title of this book, the revelation of John the Divine. It's not the revelation of John the Divine. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you want to know what this book is all about, look at that title and say, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, that in the end, He wins, and because He wins, so do I. You know, that's all I really need to know about Revelation. Chapter 1, John begins to write his letter, an old prisoner in a horrible place. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. We spoke last week of the kingdom of God. We spoke last week that the kingdom of God was revealed by Jesus Christ. That in the kingdom of God, the will of the Father is to be done on earth just as it is in heaven. I said there was no cancer in heaven, no diabetes in heaven, no heart disease in heaven. And if the Bible says it is supposed to be here like there, then there really ought not be those things on this earth. And that Jesus, through the preaching of the kingdom of God, said that these things you have power over. That's the kingdom of God. But I want to show you today the other end of the kingdom. I'm your brother and your companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it like this. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Sitting here this morning, worshiping God in song and meditating on the words that we were singing, the Spirit of God began to deal with me on the inside. And I just want to say this, because I'm saying what I'm saying is the absolute truth, and I know it. Some of you are facing things right now. Many of you are facing things right now that look like a Patmos Island in your eyes. I'm going to die in this place. There is no hope for me. And I'm just wishing that somebody would do something or wave some dust or get a feather or do something that will get me out from where I am. And the disciple that they called the beloved, beloved of the Lord, the one who set his head on Jesus' chest, he writes to the rest of the brothers and sisters in the church. And he said, I am your brother. I am your companion in the tribulation, in the kingdom, and the patience of Jesus Christ. No wonder Peter could say, don't be concerned about the fiery things that have come upon you, because they're common to the brethren. But Pastor, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear a message that I'm going to rebuke something and it's going to go away and everything is going to become a bed of roses. I want to be able to walk on water. I want to be able to find the bread and just multiply the bread. I want to be able to heal my neighbor. I want to be doing all these things. Don't tell me about this other stuff. I'm telling you, this is the other end of the kingdom of God. Don't get stuck in one place. This comes as a package. It comes as a package for each of us. It's interesting to know that these three words here, suffering, is another word that they use for tribulation. But these three words, tribulation and kingdom and patience, have one. In the Greek, they have one single article that you can see here. The article, the. What John is, and the Holy Spirit is getting through John to us in 2016 is this. The tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ are one package. And if you're a brother or sister in Christ, that package also belongs to you. I wished I could stand up here and tell you that, you know, I can tell you God loves you. I can tell you that I trust God. I can tell you that I've been in situations myself where there seems to be absolutely no out. I've been in situations where the only option that seemed to be right at the time was to kill myself. Because there's nothing can come out of this. But I'm telling you, God's not asleep at the switch. God has not turned His back on you. God loves you. And what he's waiting for the simplest of things, is to say, here you say, Father, I need you. I need a Savior. My world has turned totally smelly. Everything I touch gets smelly. I saw one light at the end of the tunnel, and sure enough, God, I'm so tired of the life that I'm living. Change my life. That's a hard prayer for a Christian to pray. Have you prayed the prayer, God, I'm sick and tired of where I am. I know You've got something better. I know You got something more. I'm tired of this place where I'm at. I'm tired of the going around, going around, going around. Praise You when the music starts. Sit down and start thinking about bills when this music goes off. Right now, who's thinking about their bills come Monday? Who's thinking about their job come Monday? I've been sitting there, I know. God, I'm tired. I need to move on. I know that there's something bigger. Yes, there is, my child. There's tribulation and kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ. God, I love that. Take out the tribulation and the patience and I'll amen it. I'll amen Him till He can't stand it anymore. I can't tell you that. And it's not what we want to hear. Because those things we don't want to hear are ours in Christ Jesus. What I want to hear is the guy on the TV that says, take that $100 bill out of your wallet, put it in an envelope and send to me. And God going to bless you? You ain't never going to have a sick day in your life. High Country Bank is going to just make a little mistake and put a 18-0 amount in your account, and they're not, just go ahead and do it. You send that $100, I'm praying to God, God go and do that. I don't want to, I'm tired of hearing that. I want to hear from God. I want to hear what God's saying. And what He's saying is, I've got brothers and sisters in tribulation and in kingdom and in the patience of Jesus Christ. God got a plan. God got a plan. I can't see the end of it. I can't figure out what it is. Right now, God, if it was me, I'd change the plan. I don't like the way that we're doing these things. We used to do a military training exercise in Hohenfels, Germany. You go out there and live for 30 days. It's either so dusty that you can't see or the mud's at your waist. There was never any in-between time. But the initial night of the exercise, the initial day of the exercise started at dark when a battalion of men, of tanks, and armored personnel carriers and trucks and all this stuff, we take off to drive all over Hohenfels with no lights. Well, you got what they call blackout lights. And if you look real hard, you can see blackout lights. But our battalion commander was the guy who says, no, black out the blackout lights. Nobody's going to see us coming. And I would sit back there thinking of 67 tons of metal running around in the dark. I learned to never lay down on the ground unless it was right up against a tree, a big tree. You know, Colonel Jones, if this was my plan, I just got one little, let's not move out tonight. Let's wait till tomorrow morning about 10. After the chow has made it up here to the area and we've ate and we've had our coffee and shot the breeze a while, then we can go ahead and move out, all right? No, that's not how the enemy was defeated. God's got a plan. And I'd sure like to see something different, but God's got a plan. Man, I'm feeling like right now somebody's just got something. God just hit him with something. And down deep on the inside of you, a little voice has popped up and said, I can make it. I can do this. Because I want to tell you, it's a great big God that you serve. It's a great big God that loves you. It's a great big God that wars for you. The devil hates you. Said something on a Sunday night a couple of weeks ago, and it stuck with Dave, and it kind of stuck with me. You got to think, God is good. Hallelujah. The song is going away because I haven't heard it all the time. It's going away. Thank you. God is good. The devil is bad. God is good. The devil's the bad one. And no matter where you're at on this journey, no matter where you're going with this thing, no matter if you have stepped up on the Isle of Patmos where there's nothing but rock and wind and ugly people, God's still got a plan. You see, God can use people in bad situations. I told somebody recently, I've never prayed for any harm to ever come to anybody, or I've never prayed for anything bad to happen to someone. And then I had to stop and check what I said, because I did. I prayed with a couple of people down at Bongo Billy's one time. We held hands around the cafe lattes and prayed that the cops would pick this lady up. Let them find her. Nobody knows where she is. God, let the cops find her. They found her in 2 days. She went to jail. God answered our prayer, because had she not gone to jail, she probably would have been dead at the end of the week. But God got her in jail. You know what happens in jail? You pretty much can be by yourself. Ain't a whole lot to do. There's a lot of people in that jail listening to God. Listening to God. We've all heard the stories about jailhouse religion. But I've seen God do some things in those jails that have been absolutely miraculous. Absolutely miraculous. Poor old John. Maybe bent over from age. You know, they tried to kill him so many times. He couldn't do it. In fact, early Christian legend says that one time they tried to boil him in oil. That was a favorite thing for the Roman emperors to do with Christians. And they tried that with John. John sat in there and he got out, and they said his skin was like that of a new baby. So what you do if you can't kill him, you just get him out of the way. Get him out of my sight over there. And he's over out of my sight. They in a little dark area of the cave. But he's alone. The distractions are all gone. The 70-inch color TV set is back in Ephesus. The car's gone. The cell phone has no minutes left on it. He is totally alone. We sometimes get to those places so that God can get our attention. The epistles that Paul wrote were not written out of magnificent temples, out of fancy hotel rooms. They were written in the dankest, darkest dungeons that Rome could come up with. We want the Red Sea parting for us. We just don't want the Pharaoh's army behind us. But sometimes that's where the miracle takes place. Poor old Elijah, he's starving to death. He gets called to Zarephath. And it isn't the king that's waiting there at the banquet table. It's an old woman's got one stinking meal left. That's all we got. But in that place, God works a miracle that's absolutely incredible. Sometimes God has got to get us to a place where we can hear Him. And that's where he's at. That's where this happened. Not in a temple, in a cave. Not in a desert. Not in a desert Kasbah with the fountains and the oasis and the water and the breeze and the trees. It happens in a stinking cave. Why was he there? Why was he there? This is important for us. This may be one of the most important verses in the whole book of Revelation. I was on the island that is called Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was there for what I had done. When you go to the jail and you talk to people in jail, there is none of them that has done anything. That's just the way it is. They said, I did this, but I didn't do it. I just get totally, absolutely amazed. Sometimes they're right. Sometimes justice works and they're cleared. Sometimes it don't work and that's another story. But they didn't do nothing. I read this scripture and I think of an old saying that I heard a long time ago. If they began to jail people for being Christians, would there be enough evidence to convict me? Would my life reflect Jesus enough that there would be people coming to say, put him in jail, he's a Christian? I'm on the island that is called Patmos. 10 miles by 6 miles of nothing but rock, 15 miles away from Ephesus. I'm there for one reason. Because of my love for Jesus Christ, because of my testimony of Jesus Christ, and the Word of God that I spoke. That's why he's there. When God gets us in some places that we don't really ever want to be, when we think I could sure do better in some other place, it's in that place where God reveals himself in the greatest way. This humble, broken man in a cave, saying, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, it might mean a lot of different things to people, but I know what being in the Spirit means to me. And it's easy to get in the Spirit in here. Really easy. It's really easy to feel the love of God. It's really easy to know, God, you're my Father and you love me. God, you have blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Hallelujah! But when the house is gone, the car is gone, the doctor's given you a diagnosis of cancer, your kids have all run away, every bad thing that you can think of, that's a different place to get into the Spirit. And sometimes I think God lets us get into these places to teach us how important it is. Paul and Silas in jail, backs beaten with rods, up against, in chains, up against a rock wall, and they're beginning to sing praises to God at the midnight hour. You, Paul, are nuts. That's what I'd expect Silas to say. Paul, you're crazy if you think I'm going to be an evangelist. I ain't doing this no more. Not unless it's in church with a microphone. But they sat there and they began singing praises to God. They began worshiping the Lord God. All the prisoners could hear them. Old black preacher said one time that they began stamping their feet. God up there began to listen to him, and he began stomping his feet. And when he got stomping his foot real good at this singing, the stones began to rattle and fall down all around the prison. And an entire family is saved and baptized that night. Why? Because they were there where they didn't want to be. Stephen got his glorious vision of Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father when he was on his knees being stoned. I, your brother and your companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ. I'm here because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I don't like that part of the kingdom. I want the other part of the kingdom. Dude, it is not buffet. It's one of them crazy restaurants where you go and you get one thing and here it comes. There's salad, there may be soup, there's a main course, there's, if you're lucky, it's not succotash, there may be some other good vegetable, good fried chicken. That's your meal. It's all here. This is it. It's all part of the chicken fried dinner or fried chicken dinner. But we want the buffet. I don't want the broccoli. I'm going past the succotash. I'm headed to the salted caramel bread pudding. And that's where I'm living, right there. It's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you have given me everything, every good and perfect thing in heavenly places. You have given me everything that pertains to life and to godliness. That's His Word. And it's in those places that we've got to realize that. It's in these places where we get, I don't like this God whatsoever, but I trust You. I trust You. This is not all there is. It's like you used to say in the army when, you know, they can kill you, but they can't eat you. God, I know that You're there, and I know that You love me. I was reading in the book of Psalms this week. You know my comings, you know my goings. You know the words before I ever get them in my mouth. You know my thoughts before you ever think them. 8 billion people on this earth, but David is proclaiming God knows you that well. He's been watching you since He knit you together in your mother's womb. God never forgot about you. He ain't going to forget about you. You can stand up there and I'm telling you this morning, there is a part of the kingdom. There is a part of the kingdom that God can get us. But when He get us to the place where we are humbled before Him, take my heart, Lord, and form it. Take my mind and transform it. Take my will and conform it to Yours. And we get to that place. And suddenly in our lives, we hear, as it were, a trumpet blast behind us. And I turn to look in the direction of the trumpet blast. And I saw one that resembled the Son of Man, hair as white as snow, face and feet as brass, a sharp, fiery, two-edged sword out of His mouth. And I fell down at His feet like I was dead because I was in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God has you right now under His hand in a place where He's trying to reveal this Jesus Christ to you. So, preacher, yes, sir. Listen to what you're saying and quit your griping. I gripe. Cry like a little girl sometimes. It ain't fair, God. I gave up my boat. It ain't right. I don't care about your boat. I care about you and where you are. Because I'm trying to form my son in you until you look just like him. That's his plan for you. That's his plan for you. Amen. I'm going to ask our ushers to get ready. We're going to have communion this morning. And I want to tell you something about this God. The only time you ever think about God is Christmas time or Easter. Or when you're perishing and you need a life preserver. Maybe you're in life preserver mode right now. But let me tell you about this God. God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. His only Son. That was God coming in the flesh in Jesus Christ. He gave Himself that whoever would believe in Him would never perish, but they'd have eternal life. Wow. Wow. You mean there's not 100 things that I've got to do? There's not 10,000 hoops I got to jump through? No. It's as simple as this. Listen to me very carefully. If you would be so honest with God as to admit to Him that knows everything already, He knows everything. He knows what you didn't have for supper last night, but you wish you could have. This God that knows you better than you know yourself, all He wants you to hear, or all He wants you to say, and for Him to hear is, God, I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. And God, I believe Jesus is my Savior. I believe He came to this earth for me. For me. And died for me to forgive me of my sins. You don't have to sign a pledge saying that when you go out of this church, you will never do this or you will never do that. You will always do this. You will always do that. You're going to dress a certain way. You're going to act a certain way. None of that stuff. He's saying, come to me and recognize I love you and I loved you enough to forgive you of your sins. God, help us to understand that. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what He wants. Don't tell me, Pastor, I just got a couple things I got to do and then I'll get right. No, you don't know that. You don't know that. I still in my mind see the knuckles of a young man sitting back in the corner over there in Veers Mill Church of God with his knuckles white at the deacon's bench. He'd say, Chuck, he says, I can't come. Tomorrow night I'll come. And I'll give my heart to the Lord, but there's something I got to do tonight. He did. And he died that night. For everything that I know, He busted the devil's hell wide open. Make sure you don't leave this building until you know Him as Savior. We're taking communion this morning. We take it for one reason, to remember. To remember what Jesus did. And we tell the world when we take this communion, the world that's around us, we take this communion to say to them, Jesus Christ died, was resurrected from the dead. He gave His body and He gave His blood and He did it for little old me. That's what this means. And if you believe that He's done that for you, take this bread and take this cup. If you're willing to say to Him, I believe that You did it for me, and I'm going to celebrate with these. Remember what You did. And I'm just foolish enough to believe that if you do that, God's going to save you. God's going to bring you into the family of God. Don't worry about all the things you have to give up. The Holy Spirit is real good at that. Real good at that. Can we take the bread together? Just hold it in your hand. Reach out and touch Him. Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread and wine. He first took the bread and He lifted His eyes and He held it in His hand and He thanked His Father. Blessed are You, great King of all the universe, for giving us the bread. And He broke that bread and He gave it to His disciples. He said, here, eat this, for this is My body which is broken for you. Let's take together. Thank You for Your broken body, Lord. By that which healed me spiritually, physically, emotionally. And then He says when the dinner was over, He took the last cup. He held it in His hands and He thanked again His Father. Thank You, Lord God, King of all the universe, for the fruit of the vine. And He gave it to His disciples and He said, here, all of you, drink all of this, for this is My blood, the blood of the new covenant, which I give for the remission of sins. For My sins, for your sins. Let us drink together. And He spoke in those last moments. He said, as often as you do this, you do show forth My death until I come. As often as you do what we did today, you're telling the world that I died for your sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of Me. Father, we remember what You did today. And we thank You for what You did today when I could not help myself. When I could not get across the chasm from where I am to where You are. When I could not do that, You did that through Jesus Christ, who spread out His arms, His hand to where I was, and brought me in His hand to where You are. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. God bless you. Go in the strength of your testimony. This is a testimony. Walk in that strength every day. Would you stand to your feet? Again, thank you for being here today. For you that are visiting with us, thank you guys for being here. It's a blessing to have you. If you've not talked to our ushers, or if our ushers have not contacted you, we would really like to have you fill out a little card so we have a record of your being here. Maybe I'll show up at your doorstep one day. That's supper time. Okay. Amen. If you're in need of healing in your body, Christ gave His body that you might be healed. If you're in need of healing in your body, I want you to come. And we're going to pray for you. God's going to heal your body. If you prayed that prayer this morning for forgiveness, I want you to come and tell me about it. There's some things I'd like to give you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord God make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace in all things, in every way, in Jesus' name.